You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. First of all, thank you so much to everybody who reached out after my most recent episode. I know that the issues that are facing us as a nation and us as individuals have certainly not passed. They're certainly not over, and we have to continue to do what we possibly can to continue to make society better for all of us. And I just appreciate everybody that reached out via email or Twitter. And it was nice to hear that it was so well received, because it is an ongoing difficult issue for me to talk about and wrap my mind around, especially trying to just talk about basketball. But I understand that it's something that a lot of people find entertaining. A lot of people are still listening to the show despite the hiatus, despite the issues, despite coronavirus and everything else that's plaguing our country and our world. Basketball is still something that a lot of people are very, very, very deeply concerned about. And so I'm going to talk about basketball for the show. That's basically the bottom line. Today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. That's the place that you're looking for if you need any auto parts to save money. I'm going to get into the NBA's plan to request medical records for all team personnel that are going to be traveling to Orlando for the continuation of the regular season and playoffs. I'm also going to talk to some questions about DeMarcus Cousins. One of you had a question about DeMarcus and Boogie Cousins, as he was well known once upon a time, and whether or not he'd be an option to join the Miami Heat and possibly help them during their playoff run. But I wanted to start off by talking about none other than Udonis Haslem, the captain, number 40, who just turned 40 and is going to be the oldest player in Orlando once the season resumes. Just amazing to think that his career has lasted as long as it has. And look, I'm starting this because I understand that UD is still somewhat of a divisive figure, something that is totally surprising to me, because I don't think it's hindered Miami in any way, shape, or form to make a roster spot available to Udonis Haslem. And I've talked about it many, many times when I had the show with Wes before, and even before Locked On Heat was even a rumor or a possibility back in our old days, just the impact of Udonis Haslem. But, you know, I rewatched a lot of old games recently, thinking about, you know, the Heat, and when I was doing some looks at the you know, past seasons, and of course the 2011 NBA Finals, and all the different things that have, you know, where Miami has accomplished over the years, where UD has been such a big part of those things. And I got to be honest with you, Udonis was a really, really good player. Like, the thing is, he's never going to be a superstar. He never was a superstar, but he was a very solid contributor, kind of, you know, somebody that we overlook a whole heck of a lot, but he was a solid fifth starter, a guy that played a lot of games. And you know, one of the things that I just recently really stood out to me is when I had Shane Battier on the show, and looking at Shane's numbers, I had forgotten that as recently as the 2012-2013 season, when the Heat won a franchise best 66 games, Udonis was a starter for most of them. He was a you know, the player that was there alongside the big three that was making everything a smooth transition. He was a starter for most of his career. I mean, when you look at the numbers, he's appeared in 857 games. He started in 499 of those. 50%, over 50%, almost 500 games of his career. You know, that's considering that over the last five seasons, he's only started one game. But prior to that, I mean, he was a pretty consistent starter. In 2012-13, he started almost 60 games, 59 to be exact. And the season before, when they were kind of trying to figure out the whole big three composition and who might work best, I think Shane started most of that season. So 2011-2012, oh, I'm sorry. I recall Udonis was injured for part of that season, so maybe that's why he wasn't as much of a starter as he was just a factor coming off the bench. But, you know, he's just – Udonis is – going to always be a major part of Miami Heat franchise history. Like, that's just a reality. The fact that he joined this team in 2003, just his whole story has been so phenomenal. I'm old enough to remember when Udonis Haslem was a member of the Miami High Stingarees many, many years ago. And that was, you know, playing for Frank Martin here, who is now, of course, the University of South Carolina head coach. A guy that's connected to the Heat in his own way, in that, you know, he coached, you know, Chris Silva at USC as recently as a couple of years ago. He coached Roddy Magruder at Kansas State I believe he coached Michael Beasley at Kansas State as well. And so, you know, he's a guy who has been connected to the Heat. He believes in the same tenets of what makes the Heat function as a franchise, you know, dedication to work, personality, being driven, pushing yourself above all else. And those are the things that he's coached in his players and has really stood out, which is why Miami's had this connection, is that they've brought in guys like UD, like Magruder, like Beasley, who was a very, very talented player. We kind of forget, obviously, because his career never really panned out the way it was supposed to have, given his overall talent level. But, you know, it's just, I think it really speaks volumes about Udonis that he was able to get that kind of coaching at a young level. And then, of course, playing for Billy Donovan at the University of Florida. UD has had an amazing career. For him to be able to go to France and play internationally because he wasn't drafted, and then to lose weight, the story of him losing weight because he couldn't find anything to eat that it suited his particular tastes. I think it's mostly kind of tongue-in-cheek there. Maybe that's an actual part of it. I'd love to be able to ask him about it if I ever do get a chance to talk to him again. He's been a phenomenal player to join the Heat in 2003 to play alongside Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal and all that talented core group there. That was Lamar Odom and Kareem. I'm sorry, Shaquille didn't join the team until a year later, but, you know, UD was there, a big part of that run that make the playoffs in Dwayne's rookie year and UD's rookie year. And then just to have their careers kind of tied together, that they were able to win a championship together in 2006, where UD was a starter, for UD to be a functional player for the next 5-6 seasons after that championship run, to be able to re-sign with Miami when they brought in the big three in 2010, just that everybody took a little less money to accommodate Udonis Haslem. I mean, what can you say? You need a guy like that in the locker room. And maybe we kind of overlooked that because you want to develop players. You want to see young guys kind of go up the ranks and things of that sort. But it's not like Miami's been hindered in any way because of having a Udonis Haslem on the roster. They've still been able to bring in the Duncan Robinsons, the Chris Silvas, the Kendrick Nunns, everybody that still has been able to complement and add to this roster in some degree. But you have Haslem, who continues to be a leader within the locker room, is as respected as anybody that you've ever come across as far as the NBA locker is concerned. He has the respect of everybody in that locker room. And I talked about this before the season started, that he was going to be an intrinsic personality there to help balance Jimmy, to help Jimmy navigate the waters of a new locker room. And it's paid dividends to get a guy like Myers Leonard in there, to get a guy like Udonis Haslem, rookies, young players, such a mix of veterans and older players, guys that are just joining the franchise, etc. The chemistry in this locker room, I think, is so great. And I think a big part of that is because Udonis Haslem has been such an incredible factor there. And look, I think he can have a roster spot on this team for as long as he wants. And I'm convinced of that because of, one, his play in the past. You kind of overlook everything that he's done, everything that he's able to accomplish with the title runs and his performances in big games down the stretch. But just because he's such a great personality to have, a guy that kind of continues to push the team in ways that maybe those individual players aren't ready to be pushed. You can never say enough about what Udonis does in the locker room, but outside of it, just in the city, what he's come to represent as a respected veteran voice, you can't overlook that. It's a phenomenal personality to have. And I think it just goes to what you want to have as far as the team is concerned. Do you want to have the most talented? Do you want to have guys that are pushing? I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't want a guy like Udonis on this roster. But I'll get into that more in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Let me tell you about rockauto.com. That's the place that you're looking for if you need auto parts for your cars. If you want to save money, and especially in today's world where times are tough, but you still need to be able to maintain and update your car whenever possible, you go to rockauto.com. It's direct, it has convenient self-service. You can find everything you're looking for. If you have a very specific car part that you need, you go to rockauto.com. Especially with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's really difficult to find the part that you're looking for. But Rock Auto makes everything so easy. Again, really convenient self-service for you to find what you're looking for. I went on their website, needed a part for my wife's Honda CR-V, found it right away, was able to get it within days of my ordering it, was able to install it in the car myself, saved hundreds of dollars. If you go, look, that's always been what stood out to me is, look, you know you need your car fixed. Maybe you're not the handiest person in the world. I would never claim to be that myself. But sometimes you just want to save a little money. And if it's a car part that's easy to install and you can download a video on YouTube or something for you to install it, that's the most convenient thing in the world. So I looked at how to replace the part. I said, I can do this. And now I just needed to find the part itself. So I went to rockauto.com, looked up the part, found it within minutes, ordered it, had it shipped to my house right away, installed it within less than an hour, and saved myself hundreds of dollars. They charge so much at auto body shops. And that's not to knock the guys that are making that kind of money. You know, they need to have a business model. And certainly it functions on a high level for you to be able to take your car in there and have the work done by a professional. But if you can save a couple bucks here and there by just ordering the part yourself and installing it, why not do so? And why not use rockauto.com? It's convenient. Go on there right now and look at the parts available for your car or truck and just write "locked on" when they ask the question, how did you hear about us? So they know that we sent you. Go to rockauto.com and save money and find the car parts that you need today. So I'll talk a little bit more about what it means when the NBA wants to restart the season and request medical records from all team personnel, how that might impact the Miami Heat. And I'll also talk a little bit more later on in the segment about DeMarcus Cousins and what he could bring to the Heat roster. But I just kind of want to finish up my thoughts on Udonis. I made a comment a couple weeks ago before the recent protests and the way our lives have changed from now on. Regarding the Heat and the question about the Mount Rushmore and things of that sort. Never an easy question to answer because everybody's criteria is different. But I got to be honest with you. I questioned, because I've seen a lot of people question, whether or not LeBron was an automatic fit for the Miami Heat Mount Rushmore. And that's a very difficult question to answer because as great as he was, that is undeniable. From 2010 to 2014, he was the best player on the planet and he was in a Miami Heat uniform for all of that. He was absolutely an intrinsic part of Miami's championship success. You can't overlook that. But his tenure was so short that I could see that being the biggest knock about whether or not you want to include him. If there are two locks for the Miami Heat Mount Rushmore, it has to be Dwayne Wade. And if you're keeping it not just to players, but to everybody regarding the Miami Heat, then you have to include Pat Riley. Dwayne Wade is as intrinsic, I'm sorry, probably the most important figure in Heat franchise history. If you go back to my recent shows about the greatest what-if scenarios in Miami Heat franchise history, you think about what Dwayne was able to do, for him to re-sign with the team, for him to be able to bring in players. Like Shaquille O'Neal doesn't come to the team in 2004 without Dwayne. You know, does Stan Van Gundy stay coaching the team if Dwayne never becomes the player that he does that first season? Does Pat Riley never, you know, have the legacy as being one of the greatest team builders in NBA history? You know, forget about the big three, forget about his individual accolades, forget about everything. If Dwayne isn't part of this franchise, who knows what this franchise looks like? I mean, if he had gone to the Los Angeles Clippers in 2003, the way that it was supposed to have shaken down with Miami selecting Chris Kaman with the 5th overall pick, this would have been a very, very different conversation. But thankfully, he joined Miami, and thankfully, he was able to achieve a Hall of Fame career as one of the best players in NBA history. And so he belongs on the Mount Rushmore without a doubt. He is first and foremost on that Mount Rushmore. After that, I think you can make a really strong argument for Pat Riley because, as I talked about during those what-if shows and looking back at some past seasons, nobody instills a culture in this franchise. Nobody helps define it until Pat Riley gets here in 1995. And from that point forward, you taste nothing but championship success. You bring in Alonzo Mourning. You tweak the rosters continuously. You always make winning a priority because losing is misery, as he's famously quoted as saying. And so I think Pat Riley absolutely deserves some placement on there. If you want to keep it to just players, then obviously Dwayne belongs on there. And then you can make a strong case at Alonzo Mourning, a guy who helped continue that culture as an extension of Pat Riley from 1995 to 2007. I think that probably counts quite a bit. Now, obviously, he did not have some great seasons there where he was dealing with his life-threatening kidney issues. And, of course, he joined the New Jersey Nets for one really bad season. Let's overlook that. Alonzo Mourning was as great a player as this team has had for a long time. Maybe he wasn't the same kind of superstar Dwayne was, but he had a fantastic career. He was a hell of a defensive player, and he absolutely is an extension of the Heat culture. And so Alonzo certainly belongs there. And if you're keeping it to just players again, then you can make a strong case for LeBron as, you know, a two-time MVP, a two-time winning, you know, NBA championship winner here in Miami. Regardless of how he came to the team in 2010 or how he left it 4 years later, he was as good as a player as you could possibly hope for on your team. And we had him here for 4 years, so he certainly belongs there. After that, that's where it gets a little tricky. You can make a case for older players like Glenn Rice that didn't achieve much success until after they left Miami. You could make a case for Chris Bosh, you know, who was a phenomenal player and an all-star here. You can make a case, depending on how it plays out, for Bam Adebayo or Jimmy Butler. Maybe at some point they'll be future Mount Rushmore, Heat Mount Rushmore finalists. But for now, I'd say you definitely have to include Giannis on them. He is a fixture of this team. He is a phenomenal player that enjoyed great success here, and he's helped define the culture as much as anybody. And to be an extension of that on the court, to be an extension off of it, to be able to speak the way he has about the impact of police brutality and about making sure that we recognize one another as equals, treating them as fairly as possible. He doesn't have to say this. A lot of players could kind of shy away from the moment, but Giannis, true to form, is as honest and open and direct as you can hope for any kind of human being, whether he wears a Heat uniform or not. I've been so fortunate to talk to Giannis. I've talked to superstars of all kinds, Hall of Fame greats. I've talked to a bunch of players, and I don't think I've ever been as excited or nervous when I first spoke to UD many, many years ago in an Orlando Magic locker room, because he was just, he is the fucking Miami Heat. He is everything about this team, and he embodies it as well as anybody could ever hope to do. And as far as I'm concerned, again, he can have a roster spot for as long as he wants it, because he is such a great person off the court and such a great presence in the locker room. And so he definitely deserves to get any kind of recognition, to get any kind of roster spot, to get anything he wants as far as his franchise is concerned. He's put up with a lot. He's given up money. He's given up millions of dollars to stay with his team. And yes, he's reaped the rewards because he's, you know, the franchise's all-time leading rebounder, because he's been a three-time championship winner, because he's had a very good life that basketball has afforded to him. And if you ask me right now, my feeling is that he will not be retiring at the end of the season, that he will come back for one more season unless Miami wins the championship in Orlando. Even then, I could still see a slight window for UD to come back next season as well. But let me move on, because I wanted to address this question from my favorite yoga lady, Claudia, who writes in, "There have been a lot of rumors about the Miami Heat picking up DeMarcus Cousins. We would have to give up a player or two to make room. Solomon Hill and who else?" she asks. "And do you like this move?" And of course, she used the hashtag AskLOHeat on Twitter to ask the question. Now, first, let me answer this. I don't know that DeMarcus is 100% available. Technically, he is available. Now, I reached out to Harrison Fagan, who is a longtime writer, a media person who has covered the Los Angeles Lakers. He's written about the Lakers for many, many sites, and he is as plugged into that team as anybody, really. And I asked him about Boogie, and what he had to say about it was that, yes, technically he is available because he was waived by the Lakers, and so he is a free agent. But there is no absolute proof as to whether or not he's 100% healthy and available to play. And now, 100% healthy is also a big question, in that we're not sure if he's going to ever return to the form he had a couple seasons ago before he joined the Golden State Warriors, before he got hurt when he was in his last year with the New Orleans Pelicans. And, you know, Boogie's career has been so miserable over the last few years. We kind of forget everything that's happened there, where, you know, he got hurt with the Pelicans, lost a lot of money in free agency, chose to sign a one-year deal with the Warriors where they could get to the championship and at least he could win a title there. Instead, he winds up getting hurt again. Kevin Durant winds up getting hurt. That roster kind of fell apart and they wound up losing in the finals. So he never tasted championship success there. Then he signs with the Lakers in the hope that he'll stay healthy and be able to contribute. He does not. He gets hurt again. He may be done. And that's sad to say, but the reality is I just don't know if we're going to ever get to that point with DeMarcus, is that if he's ever going to be healthy again and ever going to be able to contribute the way he once did. So setting that aside, let's assume he is as healthy as he's going to be, which is probably at best, 70% to 75% of the player he was a couple of years ago. And probably closer to 50% of the player that he was before his initial injury when he was with the Pelicans. If he's available, I don't see Miami as bringing him on board. The reality is that you would have to sacrifice a player. Now, Claudia brings up a great point about Solomon Hill in that, you know, obviously he has not rejoined the team, and that kind of brings up questions about whether or not they want him back in Miami. And that's a little unfortunate because for Solomon, he is an impending free agent, and I think he liked the team, he liked the culture, and he wanted a chance to prove himself. Probably won't get that chance because of the coronavirus, because of the stoppage in the play. And at this point, depending on whether or not the league institutes certain rules for waiving players, for creating roster spots and things of that sort, none of which has been finalized, Miami could very conveniently waive Solomon Hill, and then as a result, they'd have an open roster spot. If they did, I think that roster spot would go to Casey Okpala over everyone, and I don't think that they would bring in DeMarcus Cousins. That's my feeling. I don't see that being a realistic option. Now, I don't think anybody else in this roster would even come close to being waived. Chris Silva, while he's a raw project, is still a project and a player that they want to keep in their team, on their roster moving forward. That he's going to get some burn in Sioux Falls once the G League resumes at some point, that's beyond the point. The reality is that they want him on there. He embodies so much about what this team does, and they want him there. They want him there for as long as they can have him. And so if they don't have to give him up for a star or anything like that, and there's no reason to believe that he would be included in any kind of trade package, I just don't see any chance of them waiving Chris Silva. So I don't see anybody else on this roster getting waived either, though. So UD's not getting waived. Chris Silva's not getting waived. They've cleared everybody off the roster that might fit into that category. And so to me, it's a no-brainer. It's either Solomon Hill, and if nobody else, and if they're going to waive Solomon, they're probably not going to bring in a guy like DeMarcus. I could see DeMarcus Cousins joining a team like the Washington Wizards, where his friend John Wall is a part of. You know, John is not likely to be with the team moving forward as far as the playoffs are concerned or the resumption of this NBA season. But Wall is close to Boogie Cousins. They played at Kentucky, and so there's a shared background and history, a connection there. I could see that being an option. Or DeMarcus could just sit it out, continue to train, get healthy, and then make a full run whenever the 2020-2021 season resumes or starts. No one really knows. Again, we're looking at December as a possible timeline. We're looking at, you know, so many different dates have been tossed around and nothing's been finalized yet. But for DeMarcus, my feeling is that he should probably wait. Now, I don't have any, again, inside information regarding his health or well-being. So if he's healthy and wants to come back, I could see him making a push for it. I just don't see that as being realistic right now. So if I had to make a guess, the Heat won't ever bring DeMarcus Cousins in until there's proof that he's 100% healthy or close to it. I could see them adding him maybe in the future down the road a year from now, but not at this point in time. If they lose Myers Leonard in free agency, which is a very realistic option, then they could bring in a guy like Boogie Cousins as a free agent and maybe hope to continue to train with him, work with him, and get him to full health as a functional part of this team. But for now, he is not part of the playoff picture in Orlando moving forward. I'll get into what the NBA's plan is regarding older coaches and players, and in fact, all coaches and players, in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about BuiltBar.com. I know I've mentioned it to you in the past, and if you haven't tried it, you're doing it yourself a disservice. So many great flavors. You can order a box with mix and match flavors so you can try a little bit here and there. From what I've heard around the network, everybody, all the hosts really love these. And it's not just, you know, we're not blowing smoke up anybody's, you know what. We're trying to explain that these bars are absolutely delicious. And there's so many great flavors, as I've mentioned before. I love them. My wife loves them. My family loves them. We've really found them very convenient. I have not ordered that second box yet because I keep forgetting, but I'm planning on doing so very, very soon. You too should go to BuiltBar.com and place in an order whenever you get the chance. You'll get $10 off your next order. It's such a great product. You'll really enjoy it. It's convenient, easy to go. Get the nutrients that you need. You just go on there, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and you get the discount on your next box of BuiltBar.com protein bars. You'll, trust me, you'll really, really enjoy them, and you'll thank me for it later. So ESPN is reporting that the NBA has a plan in place where everybody is going to be submitting all kinds of medical records for anybody that's planning on going to the NBA bubble environment in Orlando, Florida. This is according to sources who have reported to Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski. I think the biggest concern is older coaches who are at most risk. And of course, that's not 100% proven. There is concerns about everyone being at risk. But I suppose from a overall health perspective, you could say that older coaches like Greg Popovich, who is 71, Mike D'Antoni, who's 69, and Alvin Gentry, who are 65, might be at greater risk. Although that's not 100% or proven either. But they want to cover their bases, I think. And as a result, they want to make sure that everybody's included. They can't just pick on anyone because of their age. They can't discriminate against guys like Pop or D'Antoni or anything like that. So they want to make sure that everybody is covered as well as possible, that everybody's upfront about their health and everything so that they have some kind of record as to who might be at greater risk. Now, as far as the Heat are concerned, you have Pat Riley, who may be in attendance there, who at 75 years of age, is probably a little bit on the older spectrum. I'm not sure whether he would be available to or willing to travel to the ESPN Wide World of Sports, but you know, he's always been one to travel there in the past to go with the team when they're in the playoffs, and I'm sure he'd be curious about what that entails. And if I had to guess, I'd say he'd want to be a part of it, and he's going to have to submit medical records just as well. From the coaching perspective, the only member of the Spoelstra coaching staff right now that's probably within that quote-unquote older, high-risk group is Octavio de la Grana, who is 59. He was born in 1961. Don't really know if he, you know, he doesn't, he's not exactly elderly, and if you see him, he's in great shape around the facility, and certainly he's an active coach as just as much as anybody there. I wouldn't really consider him as high risk as anybody else. So I just don't know that he fits into that category, but you know, he's an older coach, I suppose. And so he's going to have to submit records, but then again, so is everybody else. And hopefully there are no extenuating medical reasons there. I know Eric Spoelstra has spoken in the past about not wanting to exclude anybody from the coaching staff or having to make that determination as to who's essential and who's not essential. But you also have to try and keep these numbers down. It's going to be difficult to do that with 22 teams there and everybody else bringing personnel there, the potential of media there, although the more and more likely scenario is that we're going to see very, very few media members actually in attendance there. I know that only impacts me personally, but we've already heard that NBA crews are going to be, you know, covering the game remotely from, you know, TNT broadcasters aren't going to be in Orlando because they don't want to increase that risk overall. So it's going to be interesting. We've never seen anything like this, obviously. And I know that's kind of overstating something. You know, nobody's ever seen anything like this. We never have expected a pandemic to be put our lives on hold the way it has, to change the way we do things so completely. But I think the NBA is trying to do whatever they can to ensure the health of everybody involved and to also cover their ass. Let's be 100% honest with you. If they're not going to exclude any older coaches who might be at risk, or they can't target older coaches who are at risk, at the very least, they can do what they're doing, which is to make sure that everybody submits medical records and everybody's cases are on file there, and so they can keep track of who might be at risk, who might not be, etc. But we'll have to see how it plays out. From now, we haven't heard anything from the Coaches or Players Association regarding any blowback, whether or not they have overall concerns. My feeling is that this would probably be a pretty resound, I think, pretty soundly accepted from most people. I don't see that being a problematic issue. And I think this is probably a fair way of saying you can still come to Orlando, but we just want to kind of check you out and make sure that you're good to go. We still haven't gotten full details regarding future testing or what the potential health risks might be. We don't know anything about, you know, where players are going to be staying, where coaches and family members are going to be staying, and of course how they might try to ensure people being, you know, staying in one place and not really potentially bringing up more risk as far as contamination and things of that sort are concerned. We'll get more into that later. I'm actually going to get I won't go so far as to say an expert on the matter, but somebody who's very familiar with the potential situation in Orlando will be an upcoming guest on the show. Make sure you submit any kind of questions you might want about Orlando, about what's going on in the ESPN wide world of sports, what that might mean regarding the Heat and, of course, the NBA in general and the resumption of play, because this person will be eminently qualified to do so. In any case, that's something to look out for in the next week or so. I anticipate that being a show that's going to be recorded very, very soon, and you'll all have that available to you. For now, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to check out our sponsors, Built Bar and RockAuto.com, for great deals to save you money and get you exactly what you might be looking for. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can connect with me using the hashtag AskHelloHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thank you for your support. Yeah! Rack it up,